Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Noach, and the title of the shiur tonight is 7 Days of the Flood. So tonight, I want to look at the beginning of the Mabul in the Torah. There's a couple interesting psukim that talk about the introduction of the Mabul, the first 7 days, and I want to try to understand what the significance of the first 7 days are. So we'll look at the Torah, we'll look at some the Gemara, some Rishonim, we'll try to get a greater understanding of this concept. So if you look in source number 1, Bereishis, Perek Zion, we'll start from the beginning. The Torah starts as follows. It says, Vayomer Hashem Noach, Bo ata v'chol beisecha el ateva, ki ozcha ra'isi tzadik l'fanai b'dor hazeh. So Hashem tells Noach to go into the teva, the ark, because you alone are a tzadik in this generation. So it sounds like from this first pasuk that Hashem is instructing Noach to get into the teva. Mikol ha-behema tohora tikach lecha shiva shiva ish v'ishto, umin ha-behema asher lo tohora hi shnayim ish v'ishto. And he says that all the kosher animals are going to be 7 men, 7 women of each, and the non-kosher animals, 2. One male and one female. Gami of hashamayim shiva shiva zachar nekeva l'chayu zera al pnei chol aretz. And so too by the birds, it'll be 7-7 by the kosher zachar nekeva in order to keep the species alive in the world. And then Dalet, it says, Ki liyamim od shiva anochim mamtir la'aretz arba'im yom v'arba'im laila umachisi es kol yakum asher asisi me'al pnei adama. So Hashem says that in 7 days, I'm going to bring about a lot of rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to destroy all the existence that I created on the land. So the Torah at this point, if you look at the bold in source number 1, is teaching us that he tells Noach to go into the Teva, and then he says that in 7 days, I'm going to bring about this rain, this tremendous rain, and destroy all existence on earth. So Noach follows the commands of Hashem. Noach was 600 years old, and the Mabul occurred. It says that Noach and his children and his wife and his daughter-in-laws, they all went into the Teva because of the waters of the Mabul. And all the animals. And they all came 2 by 2, as Hashem had commanded. And then look in Yud, and it says, as it was on the 7th day, there was the waters of the flood on the land. So in the first source, Perek Zayin and Bereishis, the two bold psukim on the source sheets are Dalet and Yud. And Dalet says that in 7 days I'm going to bring about this flood. And in Yud it says, Vayhi l'shivas hayamim u'meh ha-mabul hayu al ha'aretz. And in 7 days, the floodwaters were on the ground, were on the earth. So the question is, what's the significance of the 7 days that Hashem is at least warning or telling Noach about the flood coming in 7 days? Why 7 days? You know, what was the need for this warning of 7 days? So that's the question that we're going to take up. You would think that the Torah would just tell us when the flood started, but instead it teaches us that Hashem almost gave warning to Noach 7 days in advance. So why? Why do we need this? What's the Torah trying to teach us? And furthermore, the other question that we'll see in the Rishonim, which I think is pretty obvious, is that it seems very redundant here, and it's not clear exactly when Noach went into the Teva, when he didn't go in the Teva. And we'll see in the first source, the first source of the Rishonim, that they ask this question, how do we understand the Pshat of the Psukim? When did Noach go into the Teva? Was it on the first day and then 7th day, or was it on the 7th day? How do we interpret these psukim? So we'll try to understand it, and you'll see we'll come across the Gemara on this. Very interesting idea. So if you look in source number 2, Rav Chaim Paltiel, one of the Mefarshim on the Chumash, he asks the question I just asked. He says in source number 2, Tema, Dilafi Mashmo Saparsha, Mashmo Shenoach Ba Miyad El Ateva Kodem Shivas Yomim, Shlifnei HaMabul. It sounds like from the pshat of the psukim that Noach went in on the first day before the 7 days of that the Mabul was supposed to start. Deha Amar Le Boel HaTeva, because it says in Pasuk Aleph, in source number 1, Hashem says to Noach, go into the Teva. And then it says in Dalet, Uchsiv Ki Liyamim Od Shiva, Uchsiv Ayas Noach. And the Torah says that Hashem tells Noach that in 7 days I'm going to bring about the flood. And it says that Noach followed the command of Hashem, implying that Noach went in, and then Hashem told him that in 7 days it'll start. So it sounds like Noach went into the Teva, and it wasn't flooding yet, and then after 7 days it started flooding again. It started flooding for the first time. But then he says, and he's right, it says, I just lost the place, 1 second. But then it repeats itself. The Torah is very redundant here, and it says in Pasuk Zayin, Vayavo Noach Uvanav. But we just saw in Pasuk Hey that he followed the command, and the command was to go into the Teva. So why is the Torah repeating itself? Why do we need it a second time? The Ode, and furthermore, the Achar Kach Ksiv Vayhila Shivase Yamim. And it's our question, the same question in Pasuk Yud. It says, Vayhi l'shivase yamim. Once again, it says that it was seventh day. Be'etzem ayom hazeh ba'noach. On the seventh day, Noach went into the Teva. Alma lo nichnas b'teva ad la'achar shivas yamim. So you see that he didn't go into the Teva until after the 7 days. So the question is, when did Noach get into the Teva? Did he go into the Teva before the 7 days, meaning the first day, and then it started flooding 7 days later? Or did he go on the seventh day? So it's not clear from the Psukim, and that's his question. V'tema mefurashu l'fi apshat t'chsiv v'hi b'shnas shesh mo shana. And it's also an open question from the Psukim itself, because it says that it was on the 600th year of Noach. V'akadosh Baruch Hu yisbarach shemo monesh nosam shel tzadikim yom liyom. He's very precise in, Hashem is very precise in counting the days of the tzaddik. Nimsa devav meos shel Noach hayu kolim b'yudlam archeshvon. So the 600 days would be completed. 600 years of Noach would be completed on the second of Mar Cheshvan. Uvo nigmar li rida samabel rak shashem rachak shivas yamim b'pnei evlo shel misushelach. So really, it should have started then, but it says that Hashem, he distanced the flood to start 7 days later. Why? Because of the avelos of misushelach. Because he wanted to observe. He wanted the world to observe the avelos of Misushelach, who was one of the Bali Masorah before Noach, and he had died then. Ulvatel Gzera Mikol V'chol Yefshar, but Hashem didn't be Mevatel the Gzera of the Mabul completely. Al Korchach Amar Le Boata V'chol Beischa L'Hateva Ki Ayom Yom Gzera L'Yiridas HaMabul. So therefore, Hashem told Noach to go into the Mabul on the day that was really the day that was Nigzar, was decreed upon to be the start of the Mabul. Vayered Mabul, and the Mabul fell down on that day. V'nichnas Noach l'teva, mipnei me'amabul, and Noach went into the Teva because of the flood. U'pasak shivas yamim, and it stopped for 7 days. V'yata Noach min ha'teva, Noach got out of the Teva. V'ahila shivas ha'yamim acharechein, yard ha'mabul, v'nichnas v'yiskor Hashem ba'ado. And then 7 days later, it started flooding again, and Noach went in, and Hashem closed the door on the Teva. So he wants to say that the pshat is very strange in the Torah. We're going to have to explain this. But the pshat is, based on the questions on the psukim that we just read, it sounds like Noach went into the Teva because it flooded on the first day, on the day that it was supposed to flood, that it was decreed upon by Hashem to flood. And then because of the avelus of Misushelach, because of the mourning of this great tzaddik Misushelach, who had died right around that time, so he waited 7 days, or it stopped for 7 days, and Noach left the Teva during that time, and then he went back in when it started flooding again. So it's a very strange issue here, and the question that we're going to try to explain in the Shir is, what exactly is this idea of stopping the flood for 7 days because of the avilus of Misushelach? What does that have to do with anything, the mourning for Misushelach, who is in the previous generation? And furthermore, this is a very strange system for Noach, that he would go into the Teva day one, then get out of the Teva when it stops raining, and then go back in. So what's the value of that? What's the purpose of that for Noach? Can we understand that as to what the design is for Noach, that he should go in, come out, and then go back in? So those are the questions. So we're going to look at I feel like we should follow the path of what this Rishon is showing us. And we're going to look at the Gemara itself, the source for this idea of Misushelach. And hopefully, we're going to look at different interpretations or ways to learn it. I think there are some interesting chidushim that come about. So if we look in the Gemara, in source number 3, it's Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, V'yihi l'shivas ha'yamim u'mei ha'mabul hayu la'aretz. It says that it was on the seventh day, and the waters of the flood came down. Ma tivam shel shivas yamim. What's the good, the benefit of these 7 days? Amar Rav, elu yimei avelos shel mesushalach. These are the days of mourning for mesushalach. L'lamedcha shehespedon shel tzadikim ma'akvin es ha'pronos lovo. It teaches us that being maspid, eulogizing a tzaddik, prevents bad things from occurring in the world, prevents peronios, destruction from occurring in the world. So it prevents it, not completely, but it pushes it off. So the chiddush of the Gemara is that really the flood should have started earlier, 7 days before, but because of the avilus of Mesushalach, which demanded a hesped, which demanded a eulogy, therefore it teaches us that this destruction of the Mabul was pushed off for 7 days in order to prevent or in order to allow for this hesped. So again, there's so many questions on this. I mean, what is the principle, the basic concept as to why the avilus and the of a tzaddik should push off peronios? You know, what's the benefit of that? What's the purpose of that? So that's the first question. And furthermore, the other question is the hesped idea. Why does the Gemara localize on the hesped for Mesushalach? Why doesn't it just say the avilus itself, the mourning, where you sit down in shiva, and you're not allowed to do certain things in mourning, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, you're supposed to sit on the ground. But it doesn't say that, it says the hesped, which is the eulogy. So why is the Gemara focusing on hesped? The hesped of tzaddikim prevents peronios. So again, why should it prevent peronios, bad things from occurring? And why is the Gemara localizing on hesped? So we'll try to explain that. So hopefully, you know, we're going to put everything together and try to understand the different approaches here. But like I said before, we'll start with the question of Rav Chaim Paltiel, which is, you know, what is this strange system that Noach goes into the table, comes out, and he says it's because of the avilus of Mesushalach, and how does it work? How does the Gemara explain it, where it says that when we're misabel for a tzaddik, it prevents negative hashkacha, destruction to the world, and why localize on the hesped? So there's different approaches to this question. If we look at the Maharsha is interesting. And he gives us the first approach. And he says in source number 4, Vayhi l'shivas hayamim, elu yimei. So, miyisura dehei hayediya darshukein. So how do they learn out this principle of that there is some type of reason for the 7 days? Because it says in the pasuk, Vayhi l'shivas hayamim. The hey is unnecessary. It's hei hayediya. It's to teach us a drasha. Shehein shivas yamim hayeduim. Shehein evlo shel mesushalach. They were known days, meaning that they were for the avilus of Mesushalach. Aval Rashi b'chumash hevi drasha dahacha akra de le'ilmine. But he points out, the Maharsha points out that if you look at Rashi on our psukim, he doesn't bring the drasha of Mesushalach on pasuk yud, which is bolded in source number 1, but he brings it on pasuk dalet. Dechsiv ki liyamim od shiva, where Hashem tells Noach that in 7 days I'm going to bring about the Mabul. So why is that important? So it's a good pickup by the Maharsha. V'humevuar de behaspedo shel tzadik ulai yachzuru b'tshuva she'ein od mish yagin aleihem ki efes hatzadik ki mashakasav ki me'akev prey da'achas yeshli. So he says that the purpose of this avelus was to give them an opportunity, the people an opportunity to do tshuva. And he says that the tzadik protects them, and the hesped of this tzaddik would protect them and somehow get them to do tshuva. So he ties in the idea of the avilus of Mesushalach, the 7 days, the extra 7 days given to the world, to humanity, as a means of giving or allowing or giving them an opportunity to do tshuva, to prevent the flood from occurring through the avilus of Mesushalach. So we have to understand how that works a little bit more. What's the connection between the avilus of Mesushalach and the prevention, or at least the tshuva idea that's supposed to prevent the flood? And maybe you have an answer, or maybe there's an idea in your mind, but just hold off a little bit because I want to try to explore this a little bit more, and we'll look in the Rambam. But if you look in Rashi, Rashi does say, like the Maharsha, he doesn't say tshuva openly, but the fact that he doesn't put it in Vayhi l'shivas hayamim, and he puts it in Dalet, which means like in the future, in the 7 days, I'm going to bring it about. It sounds like he's giving them an opportunity, an extra 7 days, he's giving them an opportunity to do tshuva. And it's tied to the avilus of Mesushalach. So if you look in source number 5, look at Rashi. It says, Ki liyamim od shiva, elu shivas yimei evlo shel Mesushalach hatzadik. These are the 7 days of avilus for Mesushalach hatzadik. Shechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kvodo, Hashem was chas on the kavod, on the respect for him. Ve'ike ve'saparanios, and he prevented the paranios. Tzei v'chashiv shnosov shel mishusach, v'tzimtza shehem kolom b'shna sheshmiosh shana l'chai noach. So you see that if you do the math on Mr. Shalach's life, he died exactly at this time. So you see that there's a correlation, connection between the death of Mr. Shalach and the start of the flood. So what do we see? We see that there's an idea of allowing the mourning of Mr. Shalach. But Rashi never says openly this idea of tshuva, but the Marsha derives it from Rashi because of where he derives this idea from, or where he places it, which is Pasuk Dalet, which sounds like in the future, giving them an opportunity, not that it already happened, Vayihi Shavasayamim. So that's the Marsha's interpretation of Rashi, but we'll give different possibilities. And Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 6 supports this idea. Look in Rabbeinu Bachya. He says in Bereishis, Parshas Noach, Ki liyamim od shiva, milvad shehaya lehem zman kuf chaf shana loshev b'tshuva. Aside from the 120 years Hashem gave the humanity to do tshuva, od ani marech lehem shivas yamim, I'm going to add an extra 7 days. Vidarshu rabbeinu zal, Elu shiva yimei evlo shemus yishalach hatzadik sheshamar kadosh baruch hu es olamo v'lo hevi hamabo lechvodo v'hu ma she'amar besamach v'yehi l'shivas yamim u'mei hamabo yol aretz. So he's, the first idea he says is tshuva, and then the second is the drasha where he talks about the avilos of Mr. Shalach and the kavod for Mr. Shalach. So we see from Rabbeinu Bachya perhaps that there's a connection between the tshuva and the idea of avilos for Mr. Shalach. Because you see in his ordering of the interpretations, first he puts in tshuva, and then right after he puts in the Gemara. So perhaps there's a deeper connection between those two ideas, and we'll try to explain the deeper connection. But the first basic approach is that it's for tshuva, that the paranios don't come about because of tshuva. And the last approach is the Radak. And then we'll go into the Rambam. But the Radak says, look in source number 7, Ki liyamim od tshuva, Tzivahu sheyichnas l'teva shiva yamim kodem sheyavi hamabo. So he really commanded, this is how he interprets the Pesukim. He says that really Noach was commanded to go in 7 days before the mabo started, not on the seventh day. Lahachin moshav habehemos v'achayos kol min v'min bekano, in order to prepare and put all the animals in their cages. Lahachnes hamachal kol min v'min be'od sheateva pesucha, and in order to put in food for all the animals and himself, and to plan the trip. So he's going on a long trip, so he needs to have food, and the animals need to have food. So the idea of the 7 days, the pshat, is that that Noach was given time to prepare for the flood. But then he says, "Uvid Razal ki Mishushach meis beoso zman." According to Chazal, Mishushach died. V'herech hakel shivas yamim kadeshis asku be'evlo shal Mishushach be'ele shivas yamim l'fi shayat tzadik v'roy l'safto. So the Radak says that really the reason is that everyone should be involved in the avelos of Mr. Shach because he was a tzaddik, and it was appropriate to eulogize him. V'haya minag ha-hesped shivas yamim. The minag in that time was to eulogize each day for 7 days. V'emes ki yimei Mr. Shach shalmu b'vo ha-mabo k'moshe k'savnu. And the math is correct. So the Radak doesn't mention anything about tshuva. The Radak just mentions the idea that it was a kavod for the tzaddik, that you should be maspid him. So we have different approaches here to how to explain the 7 days. And I just wanted to summarize before we get to the main concept. But to summarize, we looked at different Rishonim, but Rav Chaim Paltiel says that the idea is for Noach, that Noach went, you know, into the Teva, out of the Teva, for the Evlo Shel Mishushach, then back in. And then you have the Marsha and Rashi's explanation and the Rabbeinu Bachya, that it's Tshuva. And finally, we have the Radak. He doesn't mention anything about Tshuva. He's not so clear. He just says that it's an idea of kavod for the tzaddik to be maspid him, and therefore Hashem distanced the mabul by 7 days. But we have to understand why, according to the Radak, why Hashem would do that. What's the concept of distancing the mabul for the avelus and the hesped of this one person, Mr. Shalach? So let's try to explain, you know, all these concepts. So one of the questions that I think, you know, highlights the approach that we should take is, why does the Gemara localize on Hesped? It doesn't just say Avelus, but it says Hesped. So there are some famous Rambams in Hilchos Avelus on, I don't know how famous they are actually, but they're famous to me, on Hesped, on what the idea of Hesped is, where it comes from. And if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, look in source number 8, it says, a Hesped kavod hamesu. Eulogizing is really an idea of respecting the dead person. Lefichach, therefore, kofin es hayorshin litin schar mekodinim v'hamekodinos v'softinoso. So we force the yorshin, the inheritors, to pay for a eulogy and for the proper eulogy at the funeral. V'imtziva shelo yisavduhu ein softinoso. But if a person refuses, let's say before he dies, he says, I don't want anybody to eulogize me, then we follow his wishes, or her wishes. Aval im tziva shel yikaver ein shomen lo. But let's say the person says, I don't want to be buried. We don't listen to him. Shakfura mitzvah shenamar ki kabor tikvarenu. So kfura, burial, you don't have a choice. You can't say, I want to be cremated, or I don't want to be buried. You don't have a choice. So we bury you. But hesped, you can choose to accept a eulogy for yourself or reject it. But we force the yorshim, if the person doesn't say he doesn't want a hesped, we force the yorshim to do it. So the question is why, of course. Why do we force the yorshim? And then in Halacha Beis, he gives us a little philosophy. The Rambam, he says, Klomis atzel behespedo shel chacham eno marach yamim. Anybody who's lazy when it comes to eulogizing a chacham, he's not going to have a long life. V'chlomis atzel behesped adam kasher roi likaver bechayav. Anybody who's lazy in eulogizing a good man, a good person, will be buried in his lifetime. V'chol amored dimo al adam kasher. Anybody who cries over a good person, a good man, not even a chacham, just an adam kasher. Harei scharo shamor al kach etzal kadosh baruch hu. His reward is guarded, is protected, guarded, kept by Hashem for crying or for shedding a tear for a good person, an adam kasher. So the question is, why does the Rambam go into such detail and bring in this philosophy here? What's the concept that if you're misatzel behesped adam kasher royally cover b'chayav, that you really deserve to die, and it's and if you shed a tear, it's such a great thing? What exactly is the concept of hesped according to the Rambam? Why is he bringing this philosophy? That's the question. So I think that the Rambam is giving us insight into our Gemara on Mr. Shalach and the Hesped. So what is the concept of Hesped? It sounds like the Rambam is saying is Kavod Ames, but the Kavod, how does the Kavod occur? The Kavod occurs through connection, I always use the term identification because I think it's appropriate here, but it occurs through identification, meaning that the purpose of Hesped is really that the person who's listening to the Hesped should identify with the person who died. And shedding a tear is a demonstration of identification. You feel connected to the person who died. And if you fail to do that, so then you're really failing in the failure is really in lack of ability to identify with the person. So if you're misatzel, it means that you're avoiding, you're not allowing yourself to connect, to identify with the mace. But the kavod for the mace is that people should identify with him. And if you do, and if you're capable of identifying to the point of crying, which is, demonstrates a certain ability or, I guess, significance of identification, it shows it's a certain perfection. There's a certain good to that. So what is the good to that? So there's different interpretations of what the good is. So we'll go with the simplest interpretation, the first of Rashi, the Marsha, Rabbeinu Bachya, which is tshuva. So it sounds like the Torah is teaching us a chiddush, at least from the Mabel. And it's teaching us that Hashem wanted the people to do tshuva, and that's what they all hold. Rabbeinu Bachya, the Marsha, explanation of Rashi. But he chose the method of hesped. I mean, he didn't kill Mr. Shach because of this, but he chose, or he recognized that hesped was almost like a last-ditch effort or last-ditch opportunity for the people to do tshuva. That identifying with a tzaddik, with a chacham, is almost a desperate situation, but is one that could possibly succeed in allowing or in helping people do tshuva. So one idea is Rashi, Rabbeinu Bachya, Marsha, they're all explaining that the purpose of throwing off the flood for the Evlom Shel Meshushach to do hesped was in order to create an environment where the people could do tshuva. And how would they do tshuva? They would do tshuva by being able to identify with the life of Meshushach. And oftentimes, people are attracted to the individual, the leader. And of course, in an ideal world, you would do tshuva because you recognize the good of living the life of Torah, the life of a good philosophy, and the bad of committing sin and violating the will of Hashem. But people are human, and they have emotions, and they have psyches, and people oftentimes can gain a lot through relating to the tzaddik. So Hashem recognized as a last-ditch possibility that perhaps the psyches of humanity at the time would be able to identify with the tzidkus, with the righteousness of Mr. Shelach, and through that experience have the impetus and opportunity to do tshuva. So the idea of Rashi, that one idea, that's the first approach. The idea of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Bachya and the Maharsha is explaining that the purpose of pushing off the Mabul to do tshuva through the Avelus and Hesped and Mr. Shelach was that there was a recognition on the part of Hashem of the possibility that people could utilize identifying with the tzaddik to do tshuva, as motivation to do tshuva, and he realized that this would be a last-ditch opportunity, a last possible opportunity and approach that the people could use to do tshuva. They weren't on the level where they could just relate to the concepts abstractly. They needed to do it through the emotional and psychological connection to an individual. So this would possibly give them that ability, but it didn't work out, of course, and the mabul occurred. So that's one possibility. But then we asked another question. We asked the Radak. The Radak doesn't say anything about tshuva at all, and neither does Rav Chaim Paltiel. So what exactly, according to the Radak, is the idea of the Gemara, that the flood was pushed off because of the avelus of Mr. Shelach and the Hesped? So I wanted to give a different idea, a different possibility, based on the Rambam. So one idea we said is it's an idea of identification in order to do tshuva, as a motivation to do tshuva. But there's another chiddush here. So if you look back in the Gemara, just alone, it just says, back to the principle, Amarav, Elu mi'avelu shem mishashak, lamedcha she'aspeinu shel tzadik ma'akvinus ha'pronios lava. So what does that mean? The hesped of a tzaddik prevents pronios from coming. So the other possibility is that a tzaddik in the Torah is someone who elicits hashgacha, divine intervention from Hashem. So it's tzidkus, and the level, like the Rambam says, but all the Rishonim agree with, that when a person is righteous, they deserve hashgacha, divine intervention, to allow them or to help them on the path of righteousness. And Hashem intercedes at different points in a person's life based on the level of righteousness. And he helps the tzaddik continue in that path. But the chiddush, I think, according to the Radak and the Rambam, and it's a different approach, is that it's kavod ames, in the sense that it demonstrates the idea of hashgacha relating not to the individual of the tzaddik, but to his impact on the world. And even after the tzaddik dies, even after he's not around, that he needs the hashgacha to remain on the path, but the hashgacha still exists beyond his death. Why? Because in the immediate aftermath of his death, he still has the ability to impact humanity, to impact the world, as he did when he was alive. So it's a big chiddush that I believe the Gemara and perhaps the Radak is teaching us, which is that you might have thought that the hashgacha, the divine intervention that relates to a tzaddik, it goes away when the tzaddik dies. But the chiddush is that the hashgacha remains even after the death of the tzaddik, because the hashgacha is not necessarily tied to the individual of the tzaddik. It's tied to his ability to impact the world. And that's part of his path, and that's part of his purpose. So even after he's dead, for 7 days, when you're maspid, he still has the ability, or his presence and his life still has the ability to have maximal impact on people. And that's why it's a hesped, because the hesped does that, and through identification, like the Rambam says. So when people identify with the life of the tzaddik, so it has a certain impact on them. So the chiddush is saying that hashgacha remains even after the death of the tzaddik, as an indication that the hashgacha was tied to the purpose and the life of the tzaddik, not just in his lifetime, but his impact even beyond his life. And that's a big chiddush. And that's what it means, that Hashem prevents peronios for the avilus and the hesped of a tzaddik, meaning that the hashgacha remains even beyond the tzaddik's death, when he can still impact humanity. And that's a big chiddush. And the last idea I just wanted to share is the idea of Rav Chaim Paltiel, the first idea. So what is the concept of avilus of Mr. Shelach? It sounds like he's saying it's a din in Noach, that Noach should be prepared for the flood, and somehow it would be a benefit to Noach, even though the flood started. He says the flood occurred, and then it stopped for 7 days, and then Noach went back into the Teva. Sounds like the idea is that before Noach endeavor into the Teva and this whole experience of the flood, he should identify, he should associate with the past, with the Mesorah of the past. And the last, that's the last idea. The last idea is that why did Hashem prevent the Mabul from starting right away? Why did he wait 7 days? It was not for humanity, but it was for Noach. That's what Rav Chaim Paltiel is saying. It was for Noach to experience and to identify psychologically with the Mesorah of the past before the change, this massive change in the world and this massive restructuring of the world. So the idea, the last idea, is that the Avelos of Mesushach was also through identification, but it was an idea of impacting Noach before his travel on the Teva, before his experience on the Teva. So the three ideas to the Avelos of Mesushach is, one is that the Avelos and Hesped of Mesushach was there, or was pushed off the flood, because people had an opportunity through identifying, connecting with the Tzaddik to do tshuva. The second idea is that the flood was pushed off because the Hashgacha of the Tzaddik continues beyond the life of the Tzaddik. As long as the Tzaddik can still impact people, the Hashgacha of the Tzaddik remains as well, and people could still be impacted by the life of the Tzaddik even after his death for the first 7 days. That's really the Hesped, where we talk about the Tzaddik and his life still has the ability to maximally affect people. And the last idea of the Avelos of Mesushach, that it was that it wasn't for humanity, it was really for Noach. That Noach began the experience of Teva, but before he could really go through the enormity from a psychological level of the experience of the Teva, which had a drastic effect on him emotionally, it was important that he connect himself and connect to the Mesorah of the past, to the people of the past, and not just separate himself and deal with the emotions of the destruction of the world by separating himself. He had to identify with the past, and that was important as a preparation for the Mabul. So that's the idea. Any questions? Anybody have any thoughts, questions? Okay, good. Excellent. So I just wanted to share just maybe two different ideas, two more ideas based on these 7 days. And if you look in source number 10, the Torah Tamimah brings down, you know, a different approach, a different Gemara. And he says, sorry, source number 9. It says, Vayihi l'shivas hayamim. Mativam shel shivas hayamim. What's the purpose? Melamed sheyeshna HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleim sidrei breishis. Sheshina HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleim sidrei breishis. Shehaisa chama yotzeis mimara v'shokas b'mizracho. So it's to teach us that Hashem, he changed the nature of the world by the fact that we see that the sun, instead of rising in the east and setting in the west, it rose in the west and set in the east. So he says, the Gemara says that the 7 days is to teach us that there was a deconstruction of creation in the flood. And the Torah Tzmima quotes a Yerushalmi where there seems to be a support for this idea. And look in the Torah Tzmima in source number 10. He says, Shinui Seder Shivas Yimei Breishis, Umikan, Raya Leperish HaKorban Eidav, and Masha Kasev Yerushalmi Psachim, Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph. So he quotes the Korban Eidav, quoting the Yerushalmi, Lo Shimshu HaMazalos B'mi'am Babel. So the Gemara Yerushalmi says that when the Mabel occurred, there were no constellations at the time. De'ena Kavana Lo Shimshu Klal El Lo Shimshu Kisidron. It doesn't mean that they didn't exist at all, but they weren't normal. V'chein Mash Makan Shiva Shebe'es HaMabel Shina Kadosh Baruch Hu Sidrei Breishis. And this is what the Mashmos is, that Hashem changed the structure of the world. He changed, he deconstructed creation and changed it. So the question is that really true? Meaning, scientifically, did the constellations not really occur during the Mabul? Can we say that the sun was really didn't rise in the east? What can we learn from the concept that Hashem, you know, the Shivas Yomim is to reflect Bracious, that Hashem was changing the world before the Mabul? What does that mean? So it's a hard question, but the Radak explains it. He gives an explanation, which I think is beautiful for this idea. So if you look in the Radak, in source number 11, the Radak says that when Hashem says, when he brings down the rainbow, when he brings up the rainbow, he says that the world will always remain and there'll always be the seasons. And if you look in source number 11, he says, Zera v'katzir, chelek hashana l'shnei chalakim, Zera v'katzir, The Achar Kein La'arba Tekufos. So Hashem divides up the time frame of the world into two. One is putting seeds down and the other is harvesting. And then four different seasons. Kor v'chom kayetz v'choref. The Amar Yom v'layla. It says Kor v'chom, which is cold and heat. Kayetz v'choref, summer and winter. The Amar Yom v'layla. It also says night and day, lo yishbosu. Ki ba'arba t'kufos yechleku hayom ba'layla v'shi'uram v'tosefes hayom v'chesrono v'tosefes halayla v'chesrono. So in different seasons, there's different lengths of days in terms of how much daylight and nighttime. Uvahashva asam hakol lefi ha'tkufos harba. It's based on the four seasons. Different times have different lengths of daytime, daylight, and sunlight, and nighttime. Uvakulam bena yom uvena layla esrim v'arba shows. There was 24 hours. V'chesron v'atosefes lefi shinoi hamakomos v'atkufos. Based on your geography and the time of the season, you're going to get different amounts of daylight. You know, when my wife and I were in Iceland, there was in the summertime, it was pretty much daylight all the time. So it depends on the place that you're at, based on whether you're north or south. V'amar lo yishbosu. So Hashem says, lo yishbosu, malamit yishavsu, they'll no longer stop. L'malamit yishavsu b'shnasa mabul. It sounds like the seasons were not present in the times of the Mabul. So what does that mean? The seasons didn't exist when b'shnasa mabul, in the years of the Mabul. V'emes ki zera v'katzir shavas v'chein kor v'chom v'kayetz v'choref shavsu l'mekablam v'chein yom v'layla. So it's true, ki lo hivdilu bein yom v'layla b'teva, because there is no differentiation between night and day on the teva itself. He says ki v'efshar ki ba'arbim yom v'arbim layla shahaya geshem lo ayu hashemesh v'yirech v'kochavim me'irim. And when there was rain, he says that the sun and the moon didn't produce light. Ki ayu ma'ananim kol osim ayamim. It was very cloudy all those days because there's so much rain. V'chazal amar Rav Yochanan lo shimshu mazalos kol 12 chodesh. For 12 months, there were no constellations. Amar le'er of Yonasan, Shimshu, Elish lohayu Rishuma Nikar. So Rav Yonasan says that they were Mishamesh, but they did serve, but their Rishuman was not Nikar. That their presence wasn't seen, wasn't recognizable. Okay, so he says, so what's this idea of the lo yishbosu, of the idea that the world changed, or didn't, the constellations didn't occur? So I think that the Radak, based in the middle, it sounds like he's giving a pshat answer, that what it means is the people in the Teva didn't experience, meaning Noach and his children and his daughters-in-law, so they didn't, and his wife, they didn't experience the world as it normally was. They didn't experience, to them, there was no difference between day and night, there was no difference between winter and summer. So in their framework, the world didn't exist. So that's the idea, I believe. It can't mean... that the constellations, the stars didn't exist, and they didn't, I mean, it's very difficult to understand it that way, or that factually, how is it possible to explain that the Earth rotated in a different direction? But it sounds like the explanation is that vis-a-vis the people in the Teva, it was as if the world had stopped. It was as if the world was no longer functioning in line with creation of the world. So I think that's the pshat. What does it mean that the mazalos, the Yerushalmi, that the mazalos no longer functioned? It means that man there was no ability for man to gain from them, to gain any knowledge from them, to utilize them. Because the purpose, one of the purposes of the mazalos and astronomy is for man to study God, to study creation itself. And at the time of the Mabul, there was no ability for mankind to study creation. Creation was hidden in the time of the Mabul, and vis-a-vis the people on the Teva, it was as if the world had stopped. So I think that's the Chiddush. Shivas Yomim is teaching us that in the framework of man, Bereshis was non-existent. Man was unable to study creation anymore. Creation was hidden from the eyes of man. And that's what it means that the constellation stopped and the idea that the sun started or rose in the wrong direction. It means that vis-a-vis mankind at that time, humanity, i.e. Noah and his family, there was no ability to study creation. It was as if creation was non-existent in the mind of man. So I think that's the idea. I don't think it means that the actual constellations, you know, didn't exist or weren't in the sky. And it's like the Radak says, the sun and the moon, they weren't Meir. They didn't provide light. Why? Because it was so cloudy. Meaning, vis-a-vis the people on the Teva, there was no value to the sun and the moon. They couldn't study it. It had no value in terms of understanding Maisa Bereshis at all. So Maisa Bereshis and the whole Limud and understanding of Maisa Bereshis was absent in the time of the Mabul. And the last idea before we end this year is one last point. Look in source number 12. It says, "Vayhi l'shivas yomim Yerushalmi ma tivam shel shivas yomim sheshamar kadosh baruch hu alamo shivas yomim umikan la'avelos shivas yomim." So we see that Hashem, why did he push off the flood for 7 days? From here we learn out that avelos is 7 days. So the Torah Tmima asks a good question. We don't have to do it inside, but he says, "What do you mean? We were misabel after destruction." So he answers that Hashem knew that the people were going to be destroyed. So he knew that to him it was a reality already that they were going to be destroyed. So his avelos occurred before their destruction because it was a guarantee that they were going to be killed. For us, it's not a guarantee. We don't know. So we're not able to think. We're not able to see the future. So for us, avelos occurs after the fact. But in Hashem, to Hashem, obviously kaviyachol, it's a reality even beforehand. But then he ties it in. The Torah Tmima is very interesting at the very end. He ties it into a limud. The limud is that it's usur for an avel to be misabel yosher midai. A person's not supposed to mourn the death of anybody more too much. Too much mourning is a flaw. And it says, "Perish Rashi." Look at the bottom of the Torah Tmima. "Perish Rashi shemaisi yadaihu v'araktiv v'pisho." Why? Because mankind is really a God's creation, and he was killed. Man is killed ultimately because man is a sinner. Man is finite, and he's a sinner. Every man is a sinner, and that's why a person should not be misabel yoser midai. And it says ad kan l'shono v'hinei lefi ze in mevur tam misbar shashivas yomim. So, but based on this, it's not clear why it's usher l'skashes yoser midai more than seven. Why are you not allowed to be misabel more than 7 days? The gam bechlal ein perish ze marveach aval doesn't really, it's not satisfying. Aval ledaiti efshar lefarish al piyad drushas lefaneinu. So he says that based on the drusha that Hashem pushed off the mabel for 7 days to be misabel shakavana, the purpose is ein atem merachemim yoser mimeni. You can't be merachem, have mercy more than me. Shegam anochi kviyachol lo hisabalti al churban olam yoser mishivas yamim. You see that Hashem is saying, you see that I was misabel for 7 days, so you don't have a right to be misabel more than I was misabel. So the question is, what's this principle? What's this last idea? Why do we learn out avelos from Hashem? It's not really deraisa, it says it's nasmachta. But what's the concept? So the last idea I wanted to express is an idea in avelos itself. So what's the problem with being misabel yosher midai? What's the issue? The issue is that Rashi says over there that you're denying the reality of mankind, humanity. That when you're misabel yosher midai, so you're denying the idea that man is ultimately a sinner and ultimately deserves to die at some point in their life. And as, of course, we believe that it started with Adam Arishon. And if you're misabel yosher midai, it's almost like you're saying that man doesn't deserve to die. That man should live forever. Man should be infinite. And that's the distortion of the idea of creation, of how Hashem created humanity. So the idea is that we learn out from Hashem that really, on the one hand, avelos is supposed to be personal and you're supposed to remember the person. But on the other hand, avelos can't create a situation where we distort our idea of God as a result. And when we are misabel yosher midai, it's almost like we're denying the reality that humanity is meant to die. And we can't accept that idea. That's the idea of yosher midai, that you're not allowing yourself to accept the fact that death is a reality, and you can't accept it, and that's a flaw. So the idea that we learn out from Hashem being misabel is obviously not that Hashem himself was mourning, because that's impossible, but it's teaching us that avelos can't be done in a way where it distorts. It's important to be misabel, but you shouldn't be misabel in a way where it distorts the reality of death, and the idea, the concept that death is a truth, and we can't deny that. When you're misabel yosher midai, it's like you're denying the reality of death. So that's a shir tonight. A lot of ideas came out, but I just wanted to summarize. Really, the first point of the shir was on the 7 days, the first 7 days of the flood, and tying it into the avelos and hesped of Mesushalach. So the question was, what's the tie-in? So there were three different approaches that we took. One is that it was for tshuva. And we said that people oftentimes can have a better opportunity to do tshuva through identification with a leader, a person, a personality, and Hashem recognized that. So we gave them this last possibility of tshuva through the hesped of Mesushalach, through this leader. The second idea was the Radak / Gemara itself, just a pshat, which is that the Hashgacha of a Tzaddik remains even after his death, and the first 7 days after the death of the Tzaddik is one where his impact on humanity is still strong, is still because of Hesped. So therefore, the Hashgacha still remains, because Hashgacha is not tied to the body or the physicality of the Tzaddik, it's tied to his impact and his ability to change and affect the world. And the last idea is Rav Chaim Paltiel, where he says that it was for Noach, that Noach, before the flood, should feel a connection to the past. He shouldn't just go into the flood trying to separate himself, or at least denying the past, because that would be a way to cope with the situation. But it was important that before he go into the flood, he identify with the Mesor of the past. And then the second idea is the idea of Yimei Bereishis, that Shivas Yomim reflects creation to teach us that Maisa Bereishis was hidden in the time of the flood. So before the flood started, this concept of creation and the lack of creation in the time of the flood was nicker, was recognized in the flood itself. And it's an idea that when creation can't be studied by mankind, when it's hidden from man like it was in the flood, so it's really, it lacks in value. So that's the concept. And then the last idea is the Avilus of Hashem, that when Hashem was Misabel before the destruction, because he knew it was going to occur, and it's teaching us the idea of not being Misabel Yoser Midai, that there's a reality, there's a truth, and there's a concept of Avilus that's appropriate for the loss of the person and for missing the person. But it can't be done in a way where you deny the reality of death. And when you're Misabel Yoser Midai, you're still in a state of denial. You're not accepting the reality that people die and humanity is subject to death. And that would be a flaw, and that's what we learn out from the Avilus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this idea, this concept that Hashem created man and man is killed by Pisho, and that's just the reality. So we have to be Misabel in an emotional way, but not to the point where we deny the reality of God's creation of death and the existence of death. Okay, so anybody have any questions? So everyone have a good Shabbos. Thank you.